The main thing that CAFOD would like the G20 to do is to look beyond the current crisis. We understand that there are big problems in the Eurozone, but we think it's important that it looks beyond that to do a few key other things. Otherwise, we're going to keep finding ourselves back in crisis mode. And the main one of those is to keep development on its radar. We need to make growth more stable and more inclusive. It's not just the right thing to do, it's also the sensible thing to do. We know that inequality was one of the things that put us into crisis in the first place.
But how optimistic are you that they will prioritise these issues you've mentioned? I mean, let's look, for instance, at the last G20 meeting in Seoul a year ago. They set themselves an agenda and they talked about reining in, for instance, the overinflated financial sector and finding the funds to reduce poverty. But have any of these goals been met, or have they been rather cast aside?
For this summit, to be honest, we're not that hopeful. But this is quite a long-term agenda. Our objectives, if you think about them, are to reorient our economies completely in a new direction and to rethink how we govern them globally. But having said that, I think it's important that we get onto the right track now, and there are concrete steps that we hope the G20 will take this time around. One is to restate their commitment to that economic development agenda that they set in Seoul. The other one is to be a bit bolder on things like finding new sources of innovative financing. We know that there's going to be a report by Bill Gates at this summit, and we want them to be as bold as they can in looking at those solutions, and also to state clearly that that money is going to be spent on development, on poverty reduction, and on climate change. But even more important, we think that this needs to be an ongoing agenda. We need Mexico to take up the challenge in the next presidency of the G20 and to start consulting already more broadly on what it is the G20 should do next.
In its press release ahead of this summit, you mentioned global commodity speculation, which threatens food security. In fact, there has been, of course, a significant rise in the price of basic food staples over the past year or so. Yet this hasn't been talked about much in the media, has it? And how badly is it impacting on the world's poorest people?
The rise in food prices is a very real problem in most low-income countries and even some middle-income emerging economies like Brazil, like India. Because for poor people, food is the main item that they spend their money on. It's the main outgoing of a household budget. And even farmers have to buy food. They don't grow everything that they need to eat as a family. And what we need the G20 to do is to start tackling this issue in seriousness. It's great that France have put it on the agenda for the Cannes summit, but what we're seeing is the usual problem that the G20 is trying to do the absolute minimum rather than recognizing the urgency of the problem. So we're seeing them looking at things like transparency, improving transparency in commodity markets, looking at some ways of limiting speculation, but really the measures are very weak, and what we really need is proper regulation and proper limits on speculation so that these don't make the volatility of food prices worse, which are having such a devastating impact in poor countries.
Now, of course, this summit comes across, let's say, a backdrop of deepening economic gloom, especially in Europe. And the run-up to this summit saw the Vatican, through the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, issue a document calling for sweeping reforms of the world economy and the creation of an ethical global authority to regulate financial markets. Are you worried that this appeal will fall on deaf ears as far as the G20 summit leaders are concerned?
I think we saw when the G20 first met in London that they really had heard global voices and the need for a bigger solution to how our economies are run. People wanted to see more benefits from economic growth for the very poorest. They wanted leaders to take account of the environmental impacts of growth. They wanted people to look at, you know, how we make our economies more stable, how we make the global markets more accountable to our governments. But not very much of that has happened at the G20, even though that's the core of the G20's mandate. I think the paper that came out from the Vatican was a really good reminder to the G20 of what it is they're supposed to be doing. It's all very well to deal with crisis mode, but unless you deal with those bigger questions, you're going to constantly find yourself back again in crisis mode.
Talking about crisis mode, as you say, and the deepening gloom, we've also seen the emergence of this worldwide protest movement, the Occupy Wall Street or Indignant movement, who have been campaigning against global and growing economic inequalities. Again, do you think that the G20 leaders will grasp the nettle and carry out these sweeping reforms of the financial sector?
I'm hopeful at the summit there will be some more recognition of the sort of public feeling about what the G20 is doing, because at the summit we have the political leaders, the people who are supposed to be responding to citizens. Up until now, the problem that the G20 has had, I think, has been that it's treated the reforms that it's putting in place, the questions that it's dealing with, as technical, exclusive, economic issues, and not really taking on board that people are affected by the economy, they're part of the economy, and they want their concerns to be taken on board, they want to be heard. So I'm hopeful that this global movement, plus good statements like that that came out of the Vatican, will remind the G20 that they need to be much better at including other voices.
So to sum up, what do you think will emerge from this G20 summit in Cannes?
I think a worst-case scenario for us is that the Cannes summit really only looks at the crisis within G20 countries and does a minimum on other issues. A best-case scenario would be that the G20 would come up with ideas on some of the critical issues that it put on its own agenda, so looking at things like how speculation in financial markets is affecting food security and taking real measures to address that, looking at finding new sources of financing to tackle climate change and poverty reduction. That's absolutely critical and something that the G20 could do now. And making a signal, at least, that it is still going to look at economic development that is inclusive, that it works for low-income countries and works for the poorest groups within those countries. And that to do this, it recognizes that it needs to broaden out its own consultation and improve its own practices. It needs to engage better with institutions like the United Nations, and it needs to do more to speak to other stakeholders than the financial sector, than business. It needs to talk to civil society. It needs to talk to citizens who are having to express themselves in other ways at the moment.